The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. It's the dog days of summer, so go to BubbleGenius.com for their Happy Fluff Pup Wash Soap. It's soap for your dog, and frankly, I've actually used it on myself, too. Specially formulated for a very sensitive puppy, this soap's got essential oils that act as natural flea repellents and skin conditioners, plus colloidal oatmeal and shea butter to help alleviate itchy skin and to condition the coat. The raised paw bumps on the soap can also act as a bit of a massage bar. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order, only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that done, turn us over to the communists.
Oh, Archie, I'm now, glad I'm they put you on a stool. You look taller sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you gotta do is arm all your passengers.
Music, that's our middle name. Music.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, June 28, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hello.
Holy crap, what time is it?
It's early.
It's early. We're recording the show super early today. It's like 7:20 West Coast time. I'm not even in my body yet.
It is my fault.
It's all your fault. I'm going to blame you.
I take responsibility for that, because I have a new job, so at least for a very short amount of time, I have to kind of adhere to time constraints.
Yeah. And if I fall asleep in the middle of the show, I'm blaming you.
Okay.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need free legal advice, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click that link on the podcast page. All right. Lots to talk about today. I know it's early, but we're... You know, the early bird gets the worm. Is that the saying? Is that the
saying? Sure. I don't know.
I have no idea. All right. Well, let's start out with maybe the big news story of today. I don't know, because it's so early. I have no idea what the big news story is going to be. I just got out of bed. What do you want from me? I'm kidding. All right. The Benghazi committee, yet another Benghazi investigation, wraps up with... no evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton found anywhere.
Yep.
At any time.
Yeah. But, you know, Benghazi.
That's right.
Benghazi.
Trump is going, why couldn't they hold this till after the election? Why are they doing this now?
She was asleep. She was literally asleep in her bed. That's what Trump said last week.
Holy crap. We're going to play that.
Only to watch Lester Holt call him out in spectacular fashion.
It was so great. We're going to play that audio of Lester Holt just nailing Donald Trump here in just a few seconds. Ending one of the longest, costliest, and most bitterly partisan congressional investigations in history, the House Select Committee on Benghazi issued its final report on Tuesday, finding no evidence of culpability or wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton, because, of course, they didn't.
Yep.
The 800-page report, however, included some new details about the night of the attacks and the context in which it occurred, and it delivered a broad rebuke of government agencies like the Defense Department, the CIA, and the State Department, and officials who led them for failing to grasp the acute security risks in the Libyan city, and especially for maintaining outposts in Benghazi that
did
they could
you,
not
did
protect.
Did I tell you, by the way, that I finally watched 13 Hours?
You did. Yeah. I didn't know that. What's your assessment?
It's actually, believe it or not, it's not a bad movie. It genuinely isn't. It's
I'm sure it's a good, I'm sure it's a well-constructed movie.
It's a hellacious war movie.
Yeah.
And you know, aside from having, I wish I could remember his name, the guy, the little sniveling guy who played Gale on Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, he's in that?
He plays the schlubby government, you know, agent who gets in everybody's way. Stand down. That stand in for every conservative member of the audience.
I think anytime anyone mentions Gale from Breaking Bad, you got to play this music.
Yeah, poor Gale. But
sad Gale.
As a movie, it was good, and it was certainly. Yeah. As it sort of walked you step by step through what happened, certainly it fills in a lot of blanks about how things went down. And of course, it was, again, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just thinking, this is a tragedy. This never should have happened. That is a fact.
Yeah.
But blaming Hillary Clinton or the State Department I'm sure there was, and by the way, God only knows if I can trust every single thing that Bay puts out there. I'm sure I can't. Mm-hmm. But just as something that kind of fills in blanks, I thought that it wasn't a bad movie. Really wasn't. I think it's worth seeing.
Well, and again, what's important about this particular study here is that it's Trey Gowdy. I mean, this is like the fact that there's no evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton. The report also did not dispute the fact that the United States military couldn't get to Benghazi in time to rescue the personnel who died there.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that the movie does show you a little bit. It shows you, since it kind of logs hours as it goes along,
right.
You know, it keeps track of time. It shows you the time that it takes for them to scramble jets and to get people moving, and you know, to clear airport, to clear the airport in Libya where a team was supposedly held up.
Yeah.
You know, the team that could have rescued them. So, yeah, I mean, just all of that, everything that kind of came together.
And again, I mean, these are events that occur that can't be prevented as they're going on. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we've had so many of these over the years. I mean, Benghazi-style attacks on consulates and embassies occurred all the time throughout the Bush administration. It was almost a commonplace thing where there were some embassy attacks that occurred twice on the same embassy.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
it was multiple things.
So, I mean, it's like no one administration has the wisdom on how we're supposed to prevent these things.
We've chosen to engage in diplomacy in incredibly dangerous places. And the people who risk their lives doing that deserve so much credit. But the fact is that as horrible as this sounds and dismissive, and I certainly don't mean for it to, the price of doing business in these places is that you're putting your life on the line.
I mean, I was looking back through the list of attacks during the Bush years, and I'm not sure I'm going to turn this into, well, it happened under Bush too, but you know what it actually did. I mean, you can't avoid that fact that these things occurred all the time. And there was one attack on an embassy during the Obama years. That gets all kinds of investigations. There were no investigations during the Bush years of the multiple times that this occurred. I mean, one time after another. I mean, we've got at least two that occurred at the consulate or the U.S. Embassy in Yemen. That happened twice. Karachi, Pakistan happened a couple of times there, too. I mean, it's just like one after another.
It's because Democrats, for all their faults, don't play politics with that kind of crap.
Exactly. And they turned the Republicans, on the other hand, turned this into just this ongoing menu of investigations.
That's the thing we've talked about so many times before, where if we were hit by a genuine hardcore terrorist attack, they would impeach Obama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
We wouldn't come together the way that we did after 9/11 and then rally around Bush.
Well,
you know, there would immediately be a partisan outcry from the right that Obama needs to be, you know, hung in front of the White House.
And of course, Orlando solidified that whole thing. But I mean, here's the list. And again, I'm not trying to turn this into an Obama versus Bush kind of thing. But when we look at a costly investigation like the one that Trey Gowdy just finished, on top of all of the other investigations, that each one told us things that we already knew, it's wasted money, especially knowing that there were 13 of them during the Bush years, and there wasn't a single investigation conducted for any of them. And there were people killed, both U.S. Citizens as well as other people, bystanders and so forth. On January 22nd, 2002, there was an attack in Calcutta, India. Gunmen associated with the Harkat ul Jihad attacked the U.S. Consulate. Five people were killed. June 14th, 2002, Karachi, Pakistan. Suicide bomber connected with Al-Qaeda attacks the U.S. consulate, killing 12, injuring 51. October 12th, 2002, in Indonesia, U.S. diplomatic offices bombed as part of the string of Bali bombings. No fatalities. February 28th, 2003, Islamabad, Pakistan. Several gunmen fire upon the U.S. embassy. Two people are killed. Where are the investigations? May 12, 2003, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Armed Al-Qaeda terrorists stormed a diplomatic compound, killing 36 people, including 9 Americans. The assailants committed suicide by detonating a truck bomb. July 30, 2004, in Uzbekistan, a suicide bomber from the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan attacks the U.S. embassy, killing 2 people. December 6, 2004, in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Al-Qaeda terrorists storm the U.S. consulate and occupy the perimeter wall. 9 people are killed. March 2, 2000, I'm not laughing because of these events. I'm chuckling because of the list doesn't end. March 2, 2006, Karachi, Pakistan. Suicide bomber attacks the U.S. consulate, killing 4 people, including U.S. diplomat David Foy, who was directly targeted by the attackers. September 12, 2006, Damascus, Syria. 4 armed gunmen shouting Allahu Akbar stormed the U.S. embassy using grenades, atomic weapons, automatic weapons. It's early. A car bomb and a truck bomb. 4 people are killed. 13 are wounded. January 12, 2007, Athens, Greece. Members of a Greek terrorist group called the Revolutionary Struggle fired a rocket-propelled grenade at the U.S. embassy. No fatalities. March 8, 2008. Sana'a, Yemen. Members of the Al-Qaeda-linked Islamic Jihad of Yemen fire a mortar in the U.S. embassy. The shot missed the embassy but hit a nearby school, killing 2 people. July 9, 2008, Istanbul, Turkey. 4 armed terrorists attack the U.S. consulate. 6 people are killed. September 17, 2008, in Yemen, terrorists dressed as military officials attack the U.S. embassy with an arsenal of weapons, including RPGs, and detonated 2 car bombs. 16 people were killed, including an American student and her husband. Yeah. That's the list. That was all just during the Bush administration and no Trey Gowdy investigation. I always think it's important to underscore these things, what the Republicans find important and what they find not important. These, obviously, all of these embassy attacks, clearly not important for the Republicans. It's just, well, no, I'll just blow those off. We'll focus. When the black guy comes around, we'll get his. We'll go after him. All right. So meanwhile, I guess the biggest news of the week so far has been the Supreme Court ruling on the anti-abortion trap laws in Texas, HB2, which is, of course, the law that Wendy Davis famously tried to filibuster a few years ago that went into effect anyway. And they came up with what is possibly one of the most groundbreaking rulings on the abortion issue that we've seen maybe since 1992, certainly since Roe v. Wade. And at long last, what they've done is they've put an end to this Republican strategy of passing little teeny tiny laws, nibbling around the edges, not entirely banning abortion, but making it really, really inconvenient to have one.
Yeah, it's an end run around Roe v. Wade.
And of course, the whole purpose is that you can't overturn Roe v. Wade anymore. It's been too long. It's been on the books for 40 years now. There's no chance of it ever getting overturned. So what they've been trying to do, of course, is passing laws that make it really, really difficult. And in the Hellerstedt case, what they did is they reviewed the HB2 law from Texas, which did a couple of things which were really, really just obvious to me. And it makes me wonder if the Supreme Court didn't just look at HB2 and go, well, you know, it's obvious what you're doing. We know, we can tell what you're doing with this. Don't
with us. And I'm surprised that, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't come right out and say, stop bullshitting me. No, 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 no. This is dumb. That's, by the way, that's my Ruth Bader Ginsburg voice. Thank you very much. I mean, it's because it's so clear. I mean, the standards that they the clinics based on HB2 had to rise to, the standards of a surgical facility, like even dictating, you know, the dimensions of the rooms and the hallways and certain amounts of certain kinds of equipment that they needed to have. Of course, they were all requirements that put half of all of the clinics in Texas out of business. On top of the admitting privileges thing, which is just completely absurd, because, you know, you perform a tonsillectomy in your office, and of course, you're not going to have admitting privileges to do that. But if you perform a much safer abortion, you're going to have to have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital. So that means every abortion clinic has to be within 30 miles of the nearest hospital. And if it's outside 30 miles, then it got shut down because of the law. The latest word, though, is that some of the clinics that were shut down in Texas won't be able to be reopened. It's game over for them. They're done. So, I mean, really, in a certain way, the damage has been done by this law. And there's no pulling out of that. I mean, certainly some new clinics could open up, possibly, but none of the ones that were open already are going to, or very few of them, I should say, are going to be reopened. So this is what we're looking at, and hopefully, as time goes on, more and more of these trap laws will be struck down, state to state. Certainly, the ones that are similar to the Texas law have been struck down, and there are, of course, a wide variety of other trap laws and other anti-abortion laws, what I've been calling reproductive Jim Crow laws, because the whole idea strategy functions the same way. You know, Jim Crow was all about doing an end run around the 13th Amendment, and these trap laws and anti-abortion laws are all doing an end around Roe v. Wade.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Of course, the Republicans had some problems with the ruling yesterday, as I'm sure you can predict. We're going to take a short break and come back with the conservative reaction to the Supreme Court right after these words. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Let's talk about some conservative reactions to the Supreme Court yesterday. And I love how some of them make it all...
Let me guess, judicial activism?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that. But, you know, the most of the reactions vindicate the idea that these laws were all about restricting abortion and not about women's safety and health, you know, because the HB2 law was all about saying, well, you know, if you're going to have an abortion, make sure it's safe and it's like in a surgical environment and all these requirements that are based on surgical facilities and not necessarily clinics like this. We're going to do all this for the safety and health of women. And that's what we're going to say, but what we really mean is something entirely different, which is, of course, all about the babies. They don't care. They don't care at all about the health and safety of women. This is all about protecting the fetuses, you know. And then they admit as much. I mean, you can't say, "Well, the Supreme Court ruling was bad," and then go around admitting that it was all about protecting the babies, protecting the fetuses.
Right.
That's the whole idea of the law, is to make it not about the fetuses. Because if you make it about the fetuses, then you're deliberately preventing people from having reasonable access to abortion clinics. Yeah. Instead, you know, the idea was to trick people, and you're revealing the trick. Do you get this? I don't think they get it. I mean, even Greg Abbott, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who believes that Jade Helm was a conspiratorial operation to get people to accept the idea of martial law in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you notice Texas is still there, still as stupid as ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Still, by the way, under U.S. control, as it was in the beginning.
But after Brexit, you never know what's going to happen next with Texas.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
Texas. They even got the... Are we the first one to coin that?
No. I read that somewhere, that like the day of Brexit. I saw a story about that.
Oh,
what a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, I know. After the Supreme Court on Monday struck down his state's law that would have shuttered dozens of abortion clinics, Texas Governor Greg Abbott condemned the decision by arguing that it jeopardizes the state's objective to protect innocent life, quote unquote. The decision erodes states. Here's the actual quote from Greg Abbott. The decision erodes states' lawmaking authority to safeguard the health and safety of women. Right, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And subjects more innocent life to being lost, he said in a press release. Texas's goal is to protect innocent life while ensuring the highest health and safety standards for women.
That's everything about that statement is awesome. It just is.
So
we're here to protect life and ensuring the healthiest safety standards for women who are going in to end the lives that we want to protect.
But again, it's just so dumb. If you're making a case before the Supreme Court that it's not about the fetuses, and then you turn around and you say, well, yeah, it's absolutely about the fetuses, then what you're doing is you're tipping your hand and revealing your true motives, which isn't the thing that you should be doing, because why am I explaining this to the Republicans?
Right.
This is amateur hour. The Republican Party.
You have to keep the ruse up.
Yeah, they have to keep the ruse up, obviously. If your counterpoint to the Supreme Court is, well, yeah, it is about women, then don't bring up the fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. Yeah, I mean, there's some more reactions just along the same lines. Fox News' Todd Starnes tweeted, Supreme Court sides with the killers of unborn babies. Isn't that nice? Laura Ingraham said, Justice Kennedy once again joins the liberals to side with the butchers. Again, I guess AG, I guess that's against. Butchers against innocent life? Or butchers ag innocent life? I don't know if that's like...
I guess.
The butchers are agricultural people?
Probably.
That's,
yes, they are.
What it is. But as Pope...
They're just harvesting.
They're harvesting. That's right. It's harvest season for the fetuses.
That's the creepiest thing we've ever said.
I think it very well might be. But as Laura Ingraham continued here by saying, but as Pope Francis says, who are we to judge? Mediaite's Alex Griswold wrote on Twitter, Wendy Davis is going to be unsufferable today. Is that a word?
No, insufferable.
It's insufferable. Okay. Professional writer Alex Griswold from...
You know, it's funny. Griswold, I actually like some of his stuff.
Yes,
I know. Reading it, some of it I don't mind.
Yeah.
But then if you go to his Twitter feed and look at the picture of him, it just... He may as well have put up a picture of a douche.
That's right. That should be his new profile pic. Just a douche.
It really is almost like, just please call me a douchebag.
Yeah. Well, he strikes me as being one of these sort of contrarian libertarian types.
It just might be.
Yeah, they just like throwing words out there. It's just words. Let's see. Red State's Ben Howe tweeted, I'm still confused why abortion clinics should have lower standards than doctors' offices and hospitals. Well, didn't Ben Howe get the word It's not about that. Everyone's admitting it now. Ben Howe's like playing off the playbook from 2 weeks ago. He's not really following along. Greg Abbott says it's about the unborn babies, Ben. Meanwhile, the Daily Wire's Ben Shapiro wrote, no, it's a victory for those who celebrate baby killing as a sacrament. Yes, what didn't we agree to keep that secret, that we have our own special baby killing sacrament? You know, we get the checks from George Soros, and then we use those checks to buy party favors, and we have a big ceremony. We have big abortion ceremonies, and everyone, it's a rite of passage.
Yeah. We assemble everybody in the Sept of Baylor and then blow them all up.
All right. So, meanwhile, the Supreme Court also ruled on guns for domestic abusers. And, of course, they said no, probably a bad idea for people who are convicted of domestic abuse to continue to buy guns. There were only two dissenting opinions on this one. And that was, strangely enough, Clarence Thomas and Sonia Sotomayor. I'm not making that up. Sonia Sotomayor dissented from the majority on this this particular case. But basically, the case upheld the federal law saying that if you're a felon or if you're a fugitive, you can't go and buy firearms. It's duh. I mean, obviously, this should not be the case. But naturally, the Supreme Court and a lot of conservatives think that somehow domestic abusers and felons and other horrible, horrible people should be able to buy as many guns as they want.
Shall not be infringed.
By the way, I was listening to that Archie Bunker thing that we played at the top of the show from All in the Family like 40 years ago. And good Lord, not only is it so appropriate to the gun, I mean, the gun control debate still has not changed in 40 years. It's the same things. Also, you're exactly right. Sounded like Dan Bedondi.
Mm-hmm.
Like Archie Bunker is sort of proto Bedondi. That's even possible, because I was hearing that. I was hearing him talking.
Bedondi has actually regressed.
That's right.
So it's not, there's no evolution there. It's de-evolution.
All right. Well, coming up here, we haven't talked about Donald Trump yet, and we have to talk about Donald Trump. There's so much. The slow motion train wreck continues. We started talking about this about a week ago, in which everything is going wrong for Donald Trump. I mean, almost literally.
Literally?
Yeah, literally. It's literally getting bad for Donald Trump, even though he's a supermodel, he's not doing very
well. I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
Right. Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, the latest news in the ongoing Donald Trump train wreck, right after these words. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered tweaked audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobseska.com, and click the banner for tweaked audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANDC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobseska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Literally.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. If you want to go shopping, and summertime is a good time to go shopping at Amazon.com, enter that site using our link in big capital letters just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. It says Amazon link right there. If you click on that link, it takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com, and you go shopping like you normally would, and you save lots of money. You could sign up for Amazon Prime and do all those kinds of fun things, download movies and so on. And then we get a small commission from everything you buy, and it helps support the show. Okay. And meanwhile, if you want to, you can go ahead and bookmark that. Go bookmark. You don't even have to go to BobSeska.com. Just click the bookmark, and it'll take you right there, and then we'll get credit for it. Thank you. All right. So I just got word during the break that Trey Gowdy is going crazy.
That's not a surprise.
Being challenged on this ridiculous Benghazi report, this gigantic, phenomenal waste of money, this redundant piece of crap Benghazi report. The headline here is Trey Gowdy just accidentally admitted that the House Benghazi report is a total failure. Well, good. We're admitting what everyone knows now. Gowdy said, "You read the report, and if you think it is an overzealous prosecutor, we mentioned Secretary Clinton's name less times than the Democrats do, despite the fact that the report is twice as long. So I would ask you and all my fellow citizens, put aside what the Democrats say the report is going to be like. It's actually out. Read it for yourself and read all the new information that we found and what our focus is on. It is not on one person. It is on four people whose political ideations?
What ideations.
The, ideations?
Yeah.
Have no idea.
That's a big word for him.
I know. Have no idea what they are. Glad to know, Trey Gowdy, that your little committee report was a complete waste of time. Thank you very much. By the way, can we have that money back, please? Anyway, Donald Trump. This is the funniest goddamn story. As if things couldn't get worse for Donald Trump. And there are lots of, we could lead any of the Donald Trump stories by saying that exact thing, that it can't get any worse for Donald Trump. He just hired a new communications director. And the communications director is named Jason Miller. And
Jason Miller, like Father Karras in The Exorcist?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's exactly right. He's got the actor. Holy crap. I never realized that because I was too busy reading Jason Miller's old tweets about Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump's newest communication director, or his first, I should say. Because we had that that woman, Haley Baumgartner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What happened to her?
I'm sure she was summarily fired. If she still
were... She had that one just desperate, just... The horrible, horrible appearance.
Yeah, she was god-awful. So I think what happened was is they decided maybe we shouldn't keep her around and put her on TV more and more often. Is that maybe a good idea? Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Trump put her back in the box. Unplugged
well,
her.
Well, I think top line, you know, Mr. Trump's point is that he wants to keep an open dialogue and repair relationships with world leaders.
So Jason Miller had a history of tweets about Donald Trump.
Oh, so good. I can hear this already.
Yeah. He started tweeting the hashtag Sleazy Donald.
Wow.
This was back on March 25th, where he was criticizing Donald Trump. He retweeted something written by Haley Jackson from the Ted Cruz campaign. Oh, yeah, because you know why? Because Jason Miller used to be the senior communications advisor for Ted Cruz.
No, that's perfect.
And so at the time during the campaign, Jason Miller said lots of things. He knows lots of things, has lots of words.
I know words. I had the best words.
Put them all on Twitter. So,
are they his own words then?
This is his own words. He has his own words. He retweeted Haley Jackson saying, then the campaign took a darker turn. How low will Donald go? Ted Cruz in Wisconsin. And he tweeted hashtag Sleazy Donald. Then he tweeted later.
And nobody thought to double check this stuff?
Before Miller signed on, he had some cleaning up to do. Miller deleted dozens of harshly anti-Trump tweets from his Twitter account, many of them authored just a few weeks ago. But, of course, Think Progress got their hands on all of them.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah, there it is. Hashtag Sleazy Donald. Trump, not Cruz, escalated wife fight. That was another Jason Miller tweet. Again, Donald Trump's communication director right here. He just tweeted the hashtag. Here's another one from March 28th, hashtag Sleazy Donald. Another one here from March 25th, hashtag Sleazy Donald. Here's one from May 3rd. Unbelievable watching this Trump bot on CNN tell Cruz to be classy. Trump described his avoiding venereal disease as his own Vietnam. Jason Miller also tweeted, Donald Trump is the Carl Lewis of flip-flopping. I have literally never seen anyone move with such speed. Literally.
Literally.
That is so perfect.
He also tweeted,
he just can't do. He's such an incompetent candidate.
He really, really is. This is the guy.
Jesus.
I get it. I know how politics works. Sometimes people work for one campaign, they criticize the candidate, and then they move on to the next campaign. But you know what? When it's Donald Trump and it's an ongoing cavalcade of disasters, this is like stepping right into the pitch. I mean, just as you're deliberately getting socked in the head with the baseball in this case. So Jason Miller says here, so which lobbyist wrote Donald Trump's foreign policy speech today, and what foreign companies have they done work for? I mean, the communications director has terrible English, by the way. Just can't write. I mean,
I'm shocked by that.
Let's try this again. So which lobbyist wrote Donald Trump's foreign policy speech today, comma, and what foreign companies have they done work for? Oh my God, that's dumb. I guess it could be. It's the Trump University of Skies. Trump's jet not registered to fly with FAA. Again, these are all Jason Miller tweets, Trump's new communications director. Triple crown performance by the Don today. And he's retweeting another tweet that says, Trump on abortion. Three positions in 3 hours.
Donald Trump wishes he had the stamina to still do three positions in 3 hours.
Exactly. All right, so yeah, Jason Miller retweeted someone saying, here's the full bit of Trump returning to birtherism and referring to Ted Cruz as Raphael in Waterbury. And Jason Miller tweeted, but I'm sure he's different behind closed doors. Yeah, I'm sure he is. This is the guy that Trump hires. Okay, meanwhile,
with friends like these.
Yeah, but you know what? The major story on Trump today is the Washington Post investigated Donald Trump's alleged donations to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And found out that he's not donating as much as he said to charity at all.
Every morning, Marty Baron just has this big smile on his face.
I know. Yeah, I mean, here it is. One of the manifestations of Trump going after the Washington Post and kicking them out of his press pool. The headline, Trump promised millions to charity. We found less than $10,000 over 7 years.
Amazing.
I love this. In May, under pressure from the news media, Donald Trump made good on a pledge he made 4 months earlier. He gave $1 million to a nonprofit group helping veterans' families. Before that, however, when was the last time that Trump gave any money of his own to a charity? If Trump stands by his promises, such donation, I can just feel, you can just hear the smarm and snark oozing off of these words. Yeah. If Trump stands by his promises, such donations should be occurring all the time. In the past 15 years, Trump has promised to donate earnings from a wide variety of his money-making enterprises. The Apprentice, Trump Vodka, Trump University, a book, another book. If he honored all those pledges, Trump's gifts to charity would have topped $8.5 million.
$1 million.
But in that time, public records show, Trump donated about $2.8 million, less than a third of the pledged figure, through a foundation set up to give his money away. And there
I'll tell you something. I really kind of believe that what Lawrence O'Donnell said back in 2011 is still correct.
Yeah.
I think that even though he had to do this, he had to run for president because his back was up against the wall.
Right.
Because he had been humiliated by Obama and no one believed he would do it. Mm-hmm. He kind of had no choice. But I think that Lawrence O'Donnell was right when he said that Trump cannot afford to run.
Right.
He doesn't have the money.
Yep. That's just it. I don't think he's going to come up with it either. I mean, you can't build, we talked about this last week, you can't build a fundraising infrastructure in the middle of a general election campaign, and right. The general election campaign is underway. You can't, it's something that that he should have done 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and he's just now starting, and he thinks he's going to compete. He's going to run out of money.
Because of his pride, he has to say, oh, you know what? I'm self-funding my campaign. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm like, it's nothing to me. But the fact is, I guarantee you it hurts him. Yeah. Every $1 million he spends hurts him. I promise you that.
Oh, completely.
Because we don't have any idea what he's really worth.
Right.
And then one thing is for damn sure, he is not worth $10 billion. He absolutely is not.
Oh, absolutely.
If he were
not
worth $10 billion, his campaign would not be down to 1.3.
Yeah, what is it? If he had given, I forget who tweeted this yesterday, it might have been David Korn. Just tweeting to Trump, he said, $2 million. If you donated $200 million to your own campaign, Donald Trump, that would only be 2% of your massive $10 billion fortune or whatever however the math works out. It was something like you can fully fund your campaign through the election at phenomenal record breaking numbers if you really had $10 billion,
exactly,
which
but
you
he
probably don't. Right. Right.
He doesn't. He doesn't have it.
Yeah. Well, here, this article continues on to say that, and there is no evidence that Trump has given to his foundation lately. The last record of any gift from him to his foundation was in 2008. Trump and his staff are adamant that he has given away millions privately off the foundation's books. Trump won't release his tax returns, which would confirm such gifts, and his staff won't supply details. There's no way for you to know or understand, Trump spokeswoman Hope Hicks told BuzzFeed recently. Hicks did not respond to repeated questions about Trump's charity from the Washington Post, which has its press credentials banned from Trump's public events.
Awesome.
In recent weeks, the Post tried to answer the question by digging up records going back to the late 1980s and canvassing a wide swath of nonprofits with some connection to Trump. That research showed that Trump has a longstanding habit of promising to give to charity. But Trump's follow-through on those promises was middling, even at the beginning in his early days at the as a national celebrity. And it goes on and on and on. The upshot here is that it's really only been about $10,000 over the last 7 years, which is, of course, nothing. If he really does, as you said, if he really does have, you know, $10 billion, if that is his net worth, giving just $10,000 to charity is not only being cheap, but it's also being dumb. If you've got that much money, you want to give a lot to charity because it's all a tax write-off. It all reduces your marginal tax rate down to what the Warren Buffett effective tax rate of something ridiculous less than his personal assistant. And it's all because of charitable giving and moving things around and tax loopholes and so on. But one of the big ones is, of course, giving to charity. And Donald Trump's clearly not doing it. And if he's not doing it, then he's dumber than we possibly could have ever imagined.
Right.
This is just, that's one of the things that you do, and he's not doing it. Okay, one last break, and we'll come back with more Trump news right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out, unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business, proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Really feels like the old days of morning radio, back when Chez and I were morning zoo DJs, everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Whenever that. Okay, well, like we said at the top of the show, we're recording the show way super early today. It's 2 minutes after 8, 58 minutes till 9, everybody. If you're in the mornings, you gotta tell time two different ways. That's one of the rules. Okay, so moving along with the Trump, you know, we need Trump train wreck music. And, you know, last week we did this. We used this music.
That is good.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty good, but it's not quite. We needed like a jingle or something, like Trump train wreck jingle. I'm looking at you, Rocky Mountain Mike. No, I'm kidding. All right, moving along here with the Trump train wreck. Okay, yes. Yeah, so it was like late last week, I think it was after our Thursday show when this all dropped. And it all got buried because we spent the after party talking about Brexit somehow. Yeah. So Trump was completely owned and humiliated by Lester Holt. And this is all about the Clinton emails. This is about some of the claims he made about Hillary Clinton in general. And Donald Trump just absolutely lying all the way through, and then Lester Holt
and
calling
then admitting,
him on that.
And then admitting that he doesn't know.
Yes,
like
exactly.
He literally says, did this really happen? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah,
like,
right.
But you said it happened.
Yeah, you said that Hillary's email server was hacked, and he said, well, it might have been. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
How do you know it wasn't? That's just amazing.
How do you know it wasn't? Jesus Christ. Here's the classic Donald Trump lying.
Stand up. What claim are you talking about?
Well, let's talk about your claim that she was asleep during the Benghazi attack.
He was left helpless to die as Hillary Clinton soundly slept in her bed.
Okay, I want to jump in here and just underscore the fact that Donald Trump made that claim reading it off a teleprompter. This was a prepared remark. This is something that Donald Trump and whoever his advisor is, his advisor of the day, went over these words and said, well, okay, we're going to say Hillary Clinton was sleeping. All right, put it up there. Let's say it. Yeah. And it's something that was deliberated over. It's not just something that, it's not a gaffe that Trump just blurted out and oops, I said something incorrectly.
I don't think it was deliberated over. I think Trump probably wrote his own fucking speech because he thinks he has the best words.
And he
just put that in. And I don't think he even thinks about it. I don't think he cares.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care. Because what happens is, as long as the word gets out to the bubble knots, that's all that matters. As long as the brainwashed minion have it, it doesn't matter what gets fact-checked later, because it's all part of the liberal media. Lester Holt, liberal media. NBC News, liberal media. Of course they're going to discount this, and it's not going to play against him with his disciples. It just isn't. All right, let's just dive back in here.
Your claim that she was asleep during the Benghazi attack.
He was left helpless to die as Hillary Clinton soundly slept in her bed.
That Ambassador Stevens was asking.
Were you there? Were you with her?
She has testified before the committee that she wasn't asleep.
Now listen to him. He was already like pre-protesting Lester Holt's questioning.
Were you there?
Were you there? Were you with her? Yes, Lester Holt can say, yes, I was laying and I was spooning with Hillary Clinton in bed. You know.
That's the name of this show, Spooning with Hillary Clinton.
Spooning with Hillary.
Sleep. It happened during the daytime. There's no evidence that she was asleep.
It happened all during the day, and Doria was going on for a long period of time.
But I guess what I'm asking,
you know what? It happened. News came down of the attack at like 9:30 p.m. Which is so it's still way early at that point in time, especially for a Clinton. The Clintons don't go to bed until 3 o'clock and they rise at 3:30. Yeah. That's the way it goes. Hillary Clinton was wide awake at her home working at her office at 9:30 when the news came down. It wasn't happening. Yeah. So Donald Trump continues to
of course he does
while being called on his.
Right. But that's the thing. But the thing is that he's really like the student who didn't prepare his book report. And he's just trying to BS. So he's talking. Listen to him. Mm-hmm. He talks in generalities.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it went on for a long time. I bet that if Lester Holt turned to him right now and asked him during that interview, if he said, what time did it start? What time did the news came down? I guarantee you Trump would not be able
he
to tell
him
because he doesn't know specifics.
Well, that's right.
Trump is a lazy ass.
He says right here that it happened during the day. Trump talks over Lester Holt and says, yeah, but it happened during the day. No, it didn't happen during the day, Donald. No. Jesus, you're gonna attack someone, become an expert on what you're, you know, the topic of the attack. At least learn the basic TikTok of the goddamn thing. Let's continue on here.
Sleep. It happened during the daytime. There's no evidence that she was asleep.
It happened all during the day, and Doria was going on for a long period of time.
But I guess what I'm asking, what are you basing it on?
And she was asleep at the wheel. Whether she was sleeping or not, who knows if she was sleeping?
She said she was sleeping.
She might have been sleeping. Right, because she put out a tweet. Somebody said she put out a tweet, therefore she wasn't sleeping. Nobody else could put out a tweet.
Unbelievable.
So his metric as to whether or not Hillary Clinton was sleeping was the tweet.
Yep.
Like, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, she could have had Uma Abedin put out a tweet. She could have had anybody do it. She got lots of people, lots of terrific people putting it. No, they're not terrific. They're not very good. They're not tremendous. But they're putting out a tweet. You know, this is
She doesn't have her own tweets. Like, I have my own tweets.
She doesn't have her own words.
I have the best tweets.
Yeah, that's the idea. That's where he was going with that. Like, Hillary doesn't have she doesn't have her own words. Remember he said, I mean, he actually said that about Hillary Clinton after, you know, she was, like every politician does, reading a speech off a teleprompter. She doesn't have her own words. That's what he's getting at here. She doesn't have her own tweets. I've got my own tweets. I will be a president who has his own tweets. I will do my own tweeting. What a dick.
So your Stamos server had been hacked.
Her server was easily hacked by foreign governments.
Suggesting that
well,
as
you
president...
you don't know that it hasn't
well,
been.
Well, anyway, but suggesting that she would become...
I mean, it's a start. This is from, again, this is from Donald Trump's speech last week. Or was it last week? I think it was last week.
It was last week. It was last Wednesday.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Where he just went after Hillary Clinton. Again, prepared remarks. Jesus.
I had a personal...
But is there any evidence that it was hacked other than routine phishing attacks?
I think
attacks?
I read that and I heard it and somebody also gave me that information. I will report back to you. I'll give it to you.
But you said it with such certainty yesterday.
I don't know if certainty. Probably she was hacked. You know, a lot, you can be hacked and not know it, but she probably was hacked. The fact is, she should not have a personal server.
You've been critical of Hillary Clinton for taking Wall Street money. Will you take Wall Street money?
I'm taking very little. I'll tell you where we're doing
very
well.
But you will take some?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see who comes up. I mean,
but you won't take a pledge, not...
Okay.
Amazing. Just amazing.
He's got no shame. He just knows. He knows. See, the funny thing is, he knows that it doesn't matter what Lester Holt says or does or what gets debunked or what doesn't get debunked.
But Lester's being very unfair to him. I guarantee that.
Yeah, right.
It's very unfair.
Very
unfair. I'm going to revoke NBC News' press credentials.
Obvious lies. Crooked Lester.
Crooked Lester.
Yeah. Would it be a good nickname for Lester Holt?
Yeah, Crooked Lester.
Lying Lester.
Lying Lester. There you go.
Lying Lester just attacked me on NBC News. I don't think he's that tremendous. By the way, I'm starting to become Dan Bedani when I read Donald Trump lines.
I know.
Now.
They really are kind of the same.
I attacked her because she has been terrible at what she does. Whether it's Libya, whether it's a great migration that you see, which is largely her, and certainly her and Obama.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if certainty. Probably she was hacked. You know what? You can be hacked and don't know it, but that's like, I'm sort of, remember that episode of The Incredible Hulk where David Banner gets caught between being David Banner and being the Hulk? That's where I am. I'm somewhere between Trump and Dan Bedani in that equation. All right, so.
You should be careful, though, because like crossing your eyes, you'll stay that way.
God damn. First of all, she shouldn't have had a personal server, okay? She shouldn't have had it. It's illegal. And what she did is illegal. Now she might not be judged on the way she's having a rigged system, but that she did is illegal. I shouldn't have had that. She shouldn't have had that personal server. Soiva.
Freaking great.
Dan Bedani says soiva for server.
Bugs Bunny.
I'm going to wear my best short when I go and turn on the personal server. Jesus. Awesome. All right, so I guess we could start talking about this a little bit before we wrap up the show. There was a new ABC News Washington Post poll. You know what? I'm going to save that particular one for the postmortem show. Before we wrap up the show, I'm going to talk about the new tracking poll, the NBC News Survey Monk. By the way, can you come up with a less reputable sounding name for a polling outfit than Survey Monkey?
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay, we're going to come up with a name. We're going to start this new polling outfit. What's a good name? Jimmy, can you tell us a good name for the for our new polling outfit?
Survey Monkey?
Yes, Survey. We'll go with Survey Monkey because it's so awesome. Okay, so the latest Survey Monkey tracking poll shows Clinton leading Trump 49-41.
So beautiful.
8-point difference. That's a 2-point bump from her 48-42 lead over Trump in last week's tracking poll. You add in the two flies in the ointment, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, and Clinton's lead drops to 6 points, according to the tracking poll. The NBC News Survey Monkey surveyed 6,500 adults online June 20th, 26th, blah, 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 margin of error, plus or minus 1.8 percentage points. So that's all good news. Again, you know, not too surprising to see that Donald Trump is crashing and boining. He's crashing and boining because of the poll from the Survey Monkey. See, this is what happens when I start talking on a podcast at 8:15 West Coast time. Was Bob doing some sort of hybrid of Donald Trump and Dan Bondi and then mispronouncing the word survey? Yeah, I think he was. All right, when we resume the show during the postmortem portion of our podcast today, I'm going to talk about this massive ABC News Washington Post poll, which isn't just about Trump versus Hillary. It's got all kinds of other goodies in there. It was just one of those things where I'm like, I'm going through the poll results and I'm going, oh my God. Oh my God. It was like, sort of towel off after I was done reading that poll. Plus, we're going to talk about Sarah Palin's recommendation for Trump's vice president.
Oh no.
The things that Sarah Palin thinks will make a good vice presidential running mate.
Only imagine.
Pressure under fire. Done this before.
Those are things that I look forward to as a vice president.
Don't want it to be his first surgery. These are things I have confidence in the young MD. These are things I have confidence in the young VP. Plus, George Will is leaving the Republican Party. I really wanted to lead the show with that, but other news pushed George Will away. George Will, who Alex Jones and Roger Stone are going to be forced to at some point during the convention. That's what we discussed last week.
Anyway, should be.
All right, the postmortem show is coming up next at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up at the $5 level and get our little mini show that we do Tuesdays and Thursdays after our free show. If you sign up at the $10 level, you get the after party and the postmortem shows. If you sign up at $15 at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you get an unbleeped, not safe for work, commercial-free version of this show, plus the after party, plus the postmortem show. Go help the show right now. Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And we'll see you on the postmortem show. Bye, folks.